Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, a lot of football stuff to unpack, man.
Yes.
A lot.
How many text messages and tweets did you get about these stories that came across about the Bears?
Correct.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
People are texting me, dude, are the McCaskies going to sell the Bears? No shot. I'd be stunned if that happened. Stunned. I told you I did a show, not a show, a luncheon a handful of years ago. I get a call from our old boss at NBC Sports Chicago, Phil Bedelli. He goes, hey, could you MC a luncheon at the Marriott on whatever date? It was in the fall. Sure. Who am I talking to? It's going to be you interviewing George McCaskey, Jerry Reinsdorf, Tom Ricketts, Rocky Wirtz, and the guy, Andrew Hauptman, I think, was at the time the owner of the Fire. First time we've ever had all the owners of all the teams at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's the Sky and there's a few. The Red Star, they weren't around.
Right.
So I do this thing. I said, George, this is in front of 500 people. George, my phone just rang. There's a guy in the back of the room. He's got a cashier's check for $4 billion. Four. He wants to buy the Bears right now. And he said, not interested. I said four with a B. He goes, you could say five with a B. Not interested.
Okay.
Now, this is a family that didn't make their money in shipping or real estate, or they don't own Amazon. They're a football family. That's it.
Or Heinz ketchup.
Right.
Or whatever the Rudy's playing high. But the point is that, like, the McCaskies are a different breed, for sure.
Like, he drives a normal car to work. He referees out where they live. His brothers and sisters, none of them are living in a mansion. None of them.
Mm-hmm.
His mother still lives in the home that she and her late husband had in where? Des Plaines, Park Ridge, somewhere. Like, they're not walking around with the Amex Black card and paying millions of dollars for property. None.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wonder at some point, there's a lot of kids in that family that they go, okay, you know what? I get one bite at the apple. I want to enjoy life. Sell the team.
I would say one of them would be, right? So at some point, aren't you tired of the public scrutiny? Yes, you have money for yourself, for your kids, for your kids' kids. You have generational wealth. You're good. But you can't win. As I told you, Cap, you could be the richest person in the world. You walk in like, that guy's got money, but I got money too. But what separates you from someone else?
Winner.
Being a winner. You want to walk through that door and just be like, oh, here comes McCaskey. Hello, old boy. McCaskey's here. Come on in. Come on in, George.
Well, hello.
You're a winner. How'd you do it, old boy? How'd you do it? That's what you want, right?
Correct.
The attention. Everyone around you so you can tell the story. People laughing at you when it's not even funny because you're McCaskey, because you're the winner, right?
Right.
Just like, I didn't think I was very funny. And he's people are just wanting to be around you to find out what's the secret. No one asked the McCaskies what's the secret.
No. There's the McCaskey family. Right?
Really?
Not lovely people. They don't know, have a clue how to win.
At the Maras, you know, not people in San Francisco, all the other owners, you know, what's happening with Tampa right now. It's not the same. Like, you want to be able to be, when you walk in, like, there's the McCaskies. They've got the secret. Look what they've done. Look at the stadium. Look at the championships. They figured it out.
Bob Kraft walks in, and you could say what you want about Bob.
Yeah, but you know, there's the guy.
He's got that amazing stadium deal. Oh, my God, look at all the Super Bowls he's got. Yeah.
That's the thing. So, yeah, I got money. But these stories that we're seeing here, all this speculation about whether or not the Bears are going to sell or not, there's a lot of red tape to that, isn't it, if the Bears were going to sell the team?
Okay, so what I have been able to deduce, and Jim O'Donnell,
yeah,
who has been on this media beat for a long, long time. Jim has a lot of contacts.
Yes.
I have no idea if his story's accurate. He wrote a story. The question was asked, which do you think will happen first? The Bears will be sold or the main grandstand building at Arlington Park will be imploded? He said, even money at this point, so put both on the board to open at 4-5. This one truly could go either way. There is some internal strife going on among family members to sell the team now. The strife makes perfect sense, even if it is opposite the prevailing thought that the franchise will never be sold as long as Virginia McCaskey, age 98, has an earthly say. The Halas McCaskey clan is now touching a fifth generation. And then he lists potential owners. Pat Ryan, 83, is the favorite. The billionaire businessman in partnership with 91-year-old Andy McKenna, who is one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet, owns 19.7% of the Bears. He also owns the right of first refusal as primary investor if any of the McCaskey stock comes up for sale. That, to correct that, he and Andy own the right of first refusal. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, because they list Jeff Bezos from Amazon, and Jerry Jones's quote is, I'd carry him piggyback to get him in the NFL. He said that in 2018. What that means is that if the Bears decide we're going to sell, Jeff Bezos could walk up and go, I'll give you $20 billion. I want the franchise. They can't sell it to him until Pat Ryan and Andy McKenna decide they don't want it. If they want it, by contract, they must sell them the remainder of the team. That's part of their deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot believe, as into sports as Pat Ryan is, Welsh Ryan Arena,
sure,
Ryan Field, Andy McKenna has been president of both the Cubs and the White Sox,
right,
wildly successful person. I cannot believe they wouldn't buy the team.
Yes, I could see that because they're entrenched here. I can definitely see that.
They're Chicago guys.
But I mean, it's nothing like, though, that someone walks in with billions with a B, though. Like you said, like a Bezos of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story that we didn't get into yesterday was how MGM is now part of Amazon. They bought MGM. They bought the Bond films. What?
Yeah, remember that broke during our show.
That's crazy.
$8 billion.
The Bond films. All of them. they own MGM.
Right.
I just want to know who gets custody of the lion, the roaring lion, before the films take place.
They have
for
a little
MGM
moat, and they keep it behind his house.
I guess so. I want to know what's that going on with that. But, Cap, I mean, imagine. I mean, what if it was an Amazon coming in? I mean, sure, there's that red tape you got to go through, but it's hard to say no if it's going to be more than what you bargained for, a lot more that they would offer.
What if those guys said, hey, Jeff, we'd like to get you in. Why don't you become one of our partners?
He would say no. Partners, no. He'd want to own it outright. It's Jeff Bezos, right?
Maybe.
Of course.
You never know.
So like you said, Cap, I agree that I don't know. Again, O'Donnell's locked in. I know he knows a lot of people. I don't know if this is true. But as you pointed out, it could be one of the sons. It could be someone that's like, is the juice worth the squeeze here? What are we doing? Like, yes, I see the dividend check. I see the money coming in all the time. Like,
but guess what? If we sell this thing for $4 billion, guess what? I can ride off to Hawaii and have a mansion and never have to deal with any of that again.
And also, what are you really doing with the Bears? Are you doing the legwork of Ted, of Ryan and Matt? What are you doing? You're one of the owners, but what are you doing, really, internally? Are you making sure that you're going to get a new stadium deal? Are you working on that? No? Then what are you really doing? Getting the money.
There's all these rumors that they might buy Arlington Park and put a stadium there.
Part of it as
and
well.
I was out by the track the other day, and I talked to somebody there. He said, the Bears really are not a leading bidder to get the property.
But they should be.
They should be, no question.
Because if you really want to stay in it, I'm just speaking for me if I'm one of the McCaskies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that flying saucer that's not too far from us here at Soldier Field, like I would want to be able to, again, be able to get more for my money if I can't get out of that deal and be able to put a roof over a Soldier Field, to be able to have casinos in there, to be able to have fans leave their coats in the car and just walk in the Soldier Field.
Right.
So now you get your Final Four. Now you get your WrestleMania.
Convention.
Now you get all your convention, everything that you need. Now you're getting even more money on the deal because you're getting something from it, right? If you're getting a new deal at Arlington, you're mm-hmm. part of that. If you're in McCaskey, you're getting paid for that too, right?
Oh, no question.
Okay,
they have the worst stadium deal in the league
right
now.
So that's what I would be working on if I'm Ted and the McCaskeys. Get out of there. The walking penguins from downtown having to go into Soldier Field.
Right.
How about a real stadium? And again, Chicagoans that are diehard Bears fans love tradition. I get that. But wouldn't you like convenience now? It's 2021.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
They've got nothing to do with this. That's a different department. Your football guys has got nothing to do with this.
Well,
have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
All right, Mayor Daley. No one asked you either, Daley. Here's what we're asking. Get out of there, Daley. You're not in this either. But that's what I'd be working. Because otherwise, what are the other McCaskies doing, Cap?
Going to games every Sunday.
And then what?
Enjoying life, I guess.
Okay, so because you know, I know you and you know me, right? The idea that you'd get paid and it's like, okay, I'm going to ride off in the sunset. Well, what do you do after that? Just retirement? Just chill on the beach?
Like Danny has always said that if he woke up in the morning and he had won the lottery or some long-lost relative he didn't even know he had left him $50 million, Danny would wait till his kids got out of school. He'd be on a beach in Hawaii. He'd build a mansion, and we would never hear from him again. You'd get a Christmas card, maybe a text occasionally. Just checking in, make sure you guys are all right.
I don't.
If you're ever in Hawaii, look me up.
That's cool.
I need a reason to get up every day.
I don't know all the McCaskies, so I wouldn't know. I'm just saying that if I'm them, my next thing that I can do, if I can't win a Super Bowl championship,
I'm putting the greatest stadium together ever.
For the greatest fans in the world.
Correct.
Bears fans from all over the world. When you take care of them that way, Cap?
100%.
That's the best you can
do. That's your legacy.
That's right.
Guess what? We're building McCaskey Field, and it's going to be amazing.
Listen, we were 5-11, but we got a state-of-the-art stadium.
Exactly. Right.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
All right, 312-332-3776. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa gives us a little insight as to what Justin Fields will be dealing with this season. We'll fill you in. You want to hear this next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rolling on, Cap J. Hood, First Midwest Bank Studio on ESPN 1000 with Danny Zetterman, the EP of the show. That'd be executive producer. J.R. Strauss, producer. Meller is off. He will be co-hosting with Carmen today because Yurko has the last 2 days of the holiday week off. 312-332-3776. So, Tua Tagovailoa. Do you remember, Hoodie, when it was Tank for Tua? I remember talking about that with Bleck and Abdallah a number of times. Abdallah being a huge Alabama fan. By the way, you can catch those guys at night when there isn't a White Sox conflict. And you hear them on the Waddle and Sylvie show every day at 2.
Yes.
But there was the Tank for Tua. And Tua Tagovailoa came out and said how tough it was for him to be able to call the plays in the huddle. And he said there were times he was lost on how to call the plays because, you know, Nick Saban calls everything along with, I think it was Lane Kiffin was sure. His OC and then Steve Sarkisian. And he said he feels so much more comfortable now, but coming into the league, it was tough.
I think, Cap, it must be the era. I would never let anyone know how I feel. Especially at the quarterback position. I guess it's just the era of being open and transparent. I guess that's okay. But, man, I'm in an important position. I don't want anyone to think that I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to open up and say that he struggled just trying to be able to get the playbook and get the I wouldn't tell anybody that in that position. It's cool that he said it because maybe it was cathartic for him to be able to get that off his chest. But I would never say that. I don't want anybody to put that in a scouting report saying, you know, this guy sees ghosts or this guy doesn't understand. I don't want that to. You can find that on tape, but I'm not going to tell you anything. I know that we as fans don't like the boring soundbite, but I'm not in that position. I'm not telling you nothing.
Okay, so
how about that?
If Mitchell Trubisky had said that same thing here,
I would have said, please don't say that.
And you know yes. what the first, Danny and I would have been screaming at each other in yeah. the IDOT bullpen because yeah. he would have gone, and many would have co-signed with Danny. How dumb is our quarterback? He doesn't even know how to read the plays, blah, blah, blah. Instead, he says, last year for me, this is Tua.
Yeah.
Last year for me, I wasn't as comfortable just in general. I wasn't comfortable calling plays. The guys that were here last year were phenomenal. I just didn't have the comfortability of checking plays, alerting plays. I just rolled with the play, even if I knew it wasn't going to work. I was going to try to make it work. I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good. And that's no one else's fault but my fault. Our play calls were simple when I was in. I didn't have alerts and checks. Where now, I feel comfortable and I can maneuver my way through these things.
Okay, so now we know why we saw Fitzpatrick in there initially, and then Tua was there, and he was pulled for a game because of the disconnect between the coaching staff and Tua.
Correct.
Now we understand it.
So do you then understand more about what Jay Cutler said in his appearance with Waddle and Sylvie 2 days ago? I wouldn't start the kid because I'm telling you, I was not ready. You don't understand how difficult it is to make the transition from college to pro.
Now, okay, there's our guy, right? Our guy, before we even punch him up, you know what he's going to say that's on the phone line right now, because he's going to make the parallel of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, mm-hmm. right? Well, how does Trevor Lawrence have the opportunity to start right away? Well, that is the case because his backup isn't very good. Mm-hmm. He was a 6th or 7th round draft pick.
Correct.
Mr. Mustache there.
Gardner Minshew.
Yes, yeah. That guy.
Correct.
So, I mean, they gave him every opportunity to succeed, whether the team was halfway good or not so good. But ultimately, Trevor Lawrence could be one of the best, if not the best, in the draft.
Okay, and there is no expectation of winning this year in Jacksonville.
Correct.
We're building with Urban Meyer. We got Trevor Lawrence. They spent a bunch of free agency. But they're not going into this season deep down going, we can contend for a championship right now.
Right.
They're putting the foundation in place where the Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Eddie Jackson and Eddie Goldman and Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith and all the money they've spent and Allen Robinson on a tag, they think, we may not win a Super Bowl, but we can win 10 football games and be in the playoffs. There's more of a level of expectation here.
I agree with you 100% on that. There's no doubt. There are different circumstances for this around the league, right? There are teams that know, hey, we're just in building stages. The Jets, the same situation. The Bears feel that they at least could get in the playoffs mm-hmm. this upcoming season. Now, how they get there, I don't know. It can't be just defense in an offensive league. You have to be able to have a leader under center to be able to get this thing done. It might take two. It might take Andy Dalton and Justin Fields to get there, but you need to have that leadership. That's so important offensively.
312-332-3776. So there's an article in today's paper.
Yes.
About Justin Fields, because Chris Sims, the analyst on NBC, Pro Football Talk, he's a very good interview. He rated the top 40 quarterbacks in the league, because guys coming in the draft and guys who are incumbent starters and the Nick Foles. He has Justin Fields 39 out of 40. 39th out of 40 today. Now, that means absolutely nothing when you get to camp. But, of course, because it's Chris Sims, who's very popular, is a former pro quarterback. He wasn't a great player, but he grew up in a home with a father who won Super Bowls. Again, wasn't an amazing player, but was a pretty damn good quarterback. People are disappointed. They don't like those rankings. LaGrange Bob on the line, 312-332-3776. Hey, Bob, what's up, man?
When did Chris Sims become a great player? When was he All-American? Well, he played at Texas. He can't say less played. Phil Sims was his dad.
Yeah.
What does Chris Sims know about quarterback?
Chris?
He played well. How great was he in the NFL? Help me out here.
Well, hold on a second. Help me out. Andy Reid's the greatest quarterback teacher in the history of the world. How good a player was he?
No, we talking about Justin Fields and Chris Sims. Don't try to get off the subject.
No, Bob. You're going to question a man's ability to understand the quarterback position. I give you an example of the best quarterback teacher in the game. He wasn't a great quarterback at all. but he's acknowledged to be the best in the game. John Gruden played at freaking Dayton, Division III. He's acknowledged as one of the best in the game. He wasn't a great quarterback, and I can keep naming him in different sports. Nick Saban wasn't an amazing player. Bill Belichick wasn't an amazing player, but they know how to coach. Chris Sims is a brilliant guy. He understands the position.
Chris Sims is brilliant. What?
Chris
Sims. To you? He's brilliant? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chris Sims understands the position and he understands football. Because he wasn't a great player doesn't mean he doesn't understand the position. And he's simply giving his rankings. Why do you have to tear him down because you don't like what he said?
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Cap?
You absolutely can.
He got number 8. He got the kid that left Philadelphia. The guy lost his confidence and going to Tennessee. Come on, man. The guy from Dakota. North Dakota. South Dakota.
Trey Lance?
No, the guy that left Philadelphia.
Oh, you're talking about Carson Wentz, who's in Indy. He's in Indy.
He's number eight. Come on, Christian. Wentz is number 8. He just left because he couldn't play. He lost his confidence. Are you telling me that's good, Cap? Carson Wentz?
Again, he's entitled to his opinion. It doesn't make him dumb.
Well, I question that.
All right.
And then I got one more thing with you and Hoodie.
Yep.
The Jaguars going to play Trevor Lawrence because they don't know they can't compete. They starting all over all this crap. No, they playing him because they think he could play. No, they don't care. They don't have the defense. That's a bunch of crap. He was going to start for them, period. That's why they got him. Well, they don't have the defense. Eddie Jackson, no. He played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they should play the best quarterback. They were going to put Trevor Lawrence anyway. By the way, Fields beat Trevor Lawrence when they played. I think they did. Come on, man. Y'all can't sway me differently.
So you would start Justin Fields day one?
Yes, I would.
All right. We already got
thanks,
you on the
Bob.
Record. Well, we don't need to relitigate it. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate
we're
you.
We're not going to relitigate that again.
Right.
We know where he stands.
Correct.
Play the man. That's what he believes. Play the man. That's what Bob in LaGrange feels. That's fine. No problem. That's fine. Here's the bottom line of it all. He talks about Chris Sims. Now, he's not brilliant, Cap. He has an opinion just like anybody else on TV. Not brilliant. He studies the film just like our guys at ESPN study the film. Mm-hmm. Those that play the position, you give them the benefit of the doubt because they know what it's like. Doesn't matter if they play it at a high level or a low level. They know the sweat equity that it takes to be a quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I think he's got great insight. Doesn't mean he's going to be correct. Doesn't mean he's going to be wrong. Let's let it all play out.
I mean, every time someone says something about the Bears that you don't agree with, it's not necessarily a diss at you. Listen, everything materializes once you see it on the field. As a college football fan, I know the leadership of Justin Fields. I always look at football a lot differently than you do because when I see the draft, I look at them based on what I saw on Saturdays. Now you get a chance. We all get a chance to see these players on Sundays. I know the top players on Saturdays that should be playing on Sundays. That guy, Justin Fields, should be playing on Sundays at some point.
And he will be. Mm-hmm. That's why they picked him and traded up a lot to get him. Let me just tell you one last thing. When he was on here slinging meat, Cutler made some amazingly good points about having lived what Justin Fields is doing and how you're not preseason training camp. Do not tell you if a guy's ready. It's real action with guys coming with evil intent to hurt you. That's when you find out if a guy can play.
So Cutler was right?
Well, we'll see if he's right. But respect his opinion.
Oh.
He played. He was there.
Mm.
Now, he was, interesting because he was slinging meat.
All right. He only talked about it for a couple of minutes.
But he was really good.
That's you just get your hand out. Once again, David Kaplan's hand out.
I don't want any of his free meat.
I agree with you. Could I have some meat?
I don't want his
you
meat.
You are trying to get his meat. That's what you're trying to do.
Horsehide.
You don't know if it's horsehide. You don't know if it's
horsehide. All kidding aside, he was really, really good at providing perspective.
But what about the rest? What about over the years, though? All that negativity.
Doesn't change my opinion of him, the guy.
I think you got your hands out once again.
No shot.
Waddle got meat. What about me?
I'd rather be a vegan.
Jay.
312-332-3776.
I think you're a good guy now.
Do you root harder and cheer louder for D. Rose than you do for any other non-Chicago athlete?
Yoshi loves horse hide.
That's next.
That's good.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Day 37, and you're listening to the Cap Jay Hood Show, ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan. He's Jonathan Hood. Danny Zetterman and J.R. Meller will be doing the midday show today as York has the day off, so he'll be with Carm.
Well, we are talking about a number of issues, including Justin Fields, whether or not he'd be ready or not. Listen, we understand the fervor of fans where it's like, man, he's fresh, he's new. It's not the same old at the quarterback position. Maybe Justin Fields, maybe he can be the guy, I mean, that could start right away for the Bears. We'll see. But it's up to the Bears in their evaluation. All I know is that at some point we'll see Justin Fields on the team. Maybe not when you want him to start, but he will be under center for the Bears. Game one, game eight, next season. Although, but we know the future is bright with that guy as a quarterback for the team.
All right, we'll get to what I tease in a moment. Here is James Gurney first. Hey, James, what's up, man?
Hey, boys, I got a different perspective. I'm coaching Justin Fields. Give me his number because I'm going to call him and I'm going to say, hey, kid, you know what happened? The Jets didn't think you were good enough. What about San Francisco or Atlanta didn't think you were good enough? Hey, you know what? You went 11th. Chris Sims told me you were 39th. Hey, let's call Kurt Warner. He's got him at 50. Keep it up. This kid's got moxie. I want to call him and put it on his locker. Say, did you hear what they're saying about you on the radio, kid? This kid's going to be a good football player, and he's going to eat it up. These fans, I mean, we all have our fandom, so I'm not going to say nothing bad about it. But I like all this. I want to call it negativity. But I'm going to call it what it is. Chris Sims was a decent quarterback, but good. Tell Justin, he thinks you're 39th. I'm going to go watch him walk in San Francisco and flash 11. I'm going to watch him walk in New York and flash 11. And Atlanta and flash 11. Watch. Mark my words. You heard it today on ESPN 1000, Captain Jay Hood. That kid is going to tear them all up. He's going to tear them all up. And I'm going to use this as his coach. I'm going to hear what they're saying. Go get him, Justin Fields. I changed his number to 1 to 11. Just to mock these guys. Have a good day.
See you, man. Have a great day.
I love his passion. James is always great.
Always great. 312-332-3776. So last night, I bet the Knicks. I couldn't believe they were down 13 at the half. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. They've got this amazing environment there. There were 15,000 in the garden, or 16,000. And it was awesome. And there's all the celebs, and it was incredible. And then here they come. Led by, not Julius Randle, who played well down the stretch. He wasn't great early. Not Nerlens Noel, not Reggie Bullock. No. A man named Derrick Rose led them with 26 points. It looked like he was playing for the Chicago Bulls back in 2010 and 11. He was awesome last night. Now, he's not a 38-minute-a-game guy for 82 games. He's not. He never will be again. But last night, when they needed someone to put them on their back and get them back in the game, and their defense was simply awesome.
The D. Rose story makes my heart swell, my black heart heart swell.
And Southsider.
Yeah, it makes my heart swell because Derrick Rose has been through so much with the injuries, Cap, and the ups and downs, and the youngest MVP, all these accolades, right? And as Tom Thibodeau said, it's a simple compliment. He says the only reason why that Derrick, when he's not effective, is when he's hurt. When he's available, he is effective. But the only time he's not effective is when he's hurt. And that's so true, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's not about a dynamic guard. There's a lot of dynamic guards that can shoot it from the moon, as we well know. But just how efficient Derrick is of just being able to find the seam to get into the lane and give you the teardrop, or just being able to pass it out in the right way, or just being able to get you the quality two that you need. Now, that's what I like, is to see someone that came back from all this injury and all the pain, all the workouts to try to just get on the floor, gets traded to the Knicks in a great situation. Now he's in the playoffs. What a great story.
It's amazing. Amazing. And think back to after he left the Bulls, they trade him to the Knicks. I didn't even remember this, and now I do. Danny brought it up in the IDOT bullpen when he went home. Remember?
Yeah.
This is pre-Thibodeau, and the Knicks were a mess, and he left. No one knew where he was. And then he called in, I had to get away and see my mom and my family. I miss home, and I'm just not in a good space.
Yep.
Then he leaves there. He goes to, I think he was in Utah. He was in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Detroit signs him and starts to resurrect his career. And then he goes to Minnesota. And he's in there. Maybe I have him reversed, but he's in Minnesota. Yeah, remember the 50-point game?
Yeah.
And they're all waiting for him with water bottles and Gatorade, and they're dumping it all over him, and he's crying.
Sure.
Like, oh, God, I'm back.
Yeah.
And he has said a billion times, that's my guy, Tom Thibodeau. That guy believes in me, and I love being pushed and coached by that guy. And then he follows him to New York.
It's a great story.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And so, and then being at Madison Square Garden, being part in it, and I know that from some New Yorkers, like, why don't you just start Derrick Rose? Why don't you? He's a better player than Elfrid Payton. That's not the point. Derrick Rose comes off the bench and is an igniter for the team.
Correct.
Brings people together. I don't care. I'm sure Derrick doesn't care that he's introduced to the Garden crowd. He just comes in and provides a spark. Now, 39 minutes is a lot on that body. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Thibodeau didn't want to play him 39 minutes because Derrick is not the same Derrick he once was. But he's just as good as far as being able to make others better and also being able to get in the lane. He doesn't have the same quicks, Cap, but he finds a way to get that seam to get to the basket.
It's unbelievable. And defensively, he has gotten much better.
Yeah.
Because that's what Tom demands. There was a great article that we should get Nick on next week. And Nick Friedell talked to Julius Randle,
mm-hmm,
and Taj Gibson and Joakim Noah and Derek and Kyle Korver about playing for Thibs. And Taj said, my phone rings all the time from guys who get traded to a team that Thibs is in. And they said, what's it like? It's hard. He will push you like you've never been pushed. But if you can let yourself be coached and pushed, you'll be the best player you could possibly be.
Of course, that Thibodeau and the Knicks are good. That's not a surprise. When you first heard that he had the job, the first thing I thought was, well, there's going to be discipline. There's going to be a sense of defense. Take a look at some of those defensive metrics. The Knicks are one of the best. And as I told you before the series, Cap, this is the difference between a potent offense in the Hawks and a strong defense in the Knicks. Who's going to win? Who's going to be able to win this series with both of those storylines on the line?
Okay, so Taj spoke after the game last night. The scene in New York, they're celebrating in the streets like they'd won the NBA title. They won one game in the first round. That's how starved they are for a winner there. The environment, incredible. Taj Gibson was asked after the game about playing and winning with Tom Thibodeau.
To be honest with you, I really can't. It's so surreal. Like I said, when I talk to the young guys who wake up and they may not know where their path is going to lead them or where the game is going to take them, just trust your heart. Don't worry about what nobody's going to say, because I sat years ago as a rookie in my second year, maybe my second year, I sat every day with Thibs after practice, and we talked about the Knicks, we talked about the battles, we talked about how great it would be to play them one day. And then for it to come true, and then I'm playing with Derek, who I've been playing with my whole career, and we have the same familiar faces, but now we're in New York City. God doesn't make any mistakes, man. You just got to follow your path. You just got to believe in yourself. Stay the course. The course is always going to be rocky, but you just got to stay the course and believe in yourself and truly believe, man, because it's some magical stuff right now. I don't know how to explain it. It's just every day that I come in, it's just, I don't take anything for granted, but every day that I come in, it's just surreal. And you got to pinch yourself because playing in the Garden, it's one of the toughest places to play, but it's one of the beautifulest places to play when you're on the right, when you're right. And We're trying to do some special things here, and right now we're laying on the groundwork for it, and it's an awesome feeling.
How awesome was that?
Well, Taj speaks from his heart with that because he's a New Yorker mm-hmm. and understands the power of Madison Square Garden when fans are behind you, how loud, how vociferous the crowd is at Madison Square Garden. So I totally understand how he feels from that standpoint. But then, as he says, God doesn't make any mistakes. Here's Derek, a guy that I played with almost my entire career, and now we're playing together, and Thibs is here too. Tom Thibodeau, the coach that we had in Chicago, is now in New York, and we're in the playoffs. Yeah, it's got to feel surreal for him.
And he didn't give you any illusion that they're expecting to win a title. He said, we're trying to do some special things here in New York, and this is just, what did he say, building the foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they know they're not good enough yet. But to see that scene and see what they've created, all of them together, with Tom at the helm, see Red Fred better go back to bed. 312-332-3776.
Not necessary.
We'll continue talking about Derrick Rose. Is he the athlete you cheer the most for on any team in basketball? On any team? Or is there a Bull you cheer for more? Be right back.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Shaq!
With Hoodie, I'm Cap, 312-332-3776. So, as we were sitting in the at-bat bullpen, Danny said there's no player in the NBA he roots harder for than Derrick Rose. And I'm like, well, that's after any guy wearing red, white, and black. Nope. He said, right now, I root harder for Derrick Rose, than any player in the NBA.
I wonder if Bulls fans feel the same way, Cap, because you have Zach LaVine, who is busting his ass for the Bulls, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vucevic is new to the team, but he's a walking 20-10.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new faces on this team, a new head coach and new management. Can you be more attached to someone that plays for the quote-unquote hated Knicks than someone on your own Chicago Bulls team? You're more into it for Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson than you are for the current Bulls team? That would say a lot.
Well, if this Bulls I don't want to speak for Danny, but I would say that this Bulls team, if they were playing with championship aspirations, like let's say they were the Bucks,
sure,
or the Jazz or the Suns, like a team that goes, we can win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Danny would be more, he would love Derrick because he always did, but he would be cheering harder because he had superstars on his team and he believed they could win. He knows 3/4 of this roster is not going to be here in 2 years.
They're going to turn it over again, yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have Vucevic, they'll probably have LaVine, and beyond that, I can't bet you that anybody else will be here.
Off the Patrick Williams bandwagon.
Oh, and he'll be here.
Yeah.
Those three.
Okay, just checking.
Those three.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't know who's going to be here. Kobe? Eh. Markkanen? Eh. Garrett Temple, eh. Thaddeus Young, eh.
They got a bunch of guys.
Guys.
A lot of guys.
Yeah. So I get that perspective because Derrick was not just a Bull. Derrick was Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick was our guy. Like, we saw him at Simeon. You and I saw him in playing high school.
That dude would not have any point. He would score zero but still control the entire game.
Scored two in a state title game and dominated the game.
It's amazing.
But when he needed a basket, he got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that perspective, but I also think it's because our team's not very good.
I understand. So now you're looking for some rooting interest. I totally get that. I just wonder, with the average Bull fan, do you feel that way too? If you're a Bulls fan and you're listening to our show, are you rooting harder for Derrick than you are for your own team? I mean, if you're a diehard Bulls fan, that's it. And for the Knicks, and of course, him being with the Knicks too, the rivalry that the Bulls and Knicks used to have back in the day.
Correct.
The fights.
And then look at who's standing on the sidelines.
Tom Thibodeau.
Oh, God. And then there was a big rebound last night. Who wrenched it away from three Atlanta Hawks were around him? That's Taj Gibson. That's
Absolutely.
Our guy.
Absolutely.
So And then you see Julius Randle, who had become, what's the right word? He became a journeyman to some people.
Yeah.
Highly talented, not going to make it. And then you hear he and Thibs connected, and Tom has just ridden that guy as hard as he could to make him better, and Randle has bought in. All of it. Said, that's my guy. That's why I had such a great year, because that guy led me where I had never been led before.
That's a credit to the Knicks and the coaching staff, because I never thought the offense could ever run through Julius Randle so often. Like, I know he's a player, but, like, the guy, and him get a award yesterday, I mean, that's a credit to Randle and his heart, but also Thibodeau believing in Randle being the go-to guy.
Right.
That's why the Knicks probably will fall short just to get their goals, because they don't have enough go-to guys, but Randle definitely is one of them. I never thought I'd see that with Thibodeau, but it happened.
It did. So I wonder if people agree. Jason's in Schererville. Hey, Jason, what's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
We're good. Jason.
Hey, so I'm 40, so I was a teenager through the Jordan years, and that got me into basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Jordan left, it died out for me until watching Derrick Rose play. It got me back into the sport, back into the Bulls. And it was heartbreaking going watching him go through what he went through and never even get the title, nothing like that. So I'll continue to root for Derrick Rose just because of what he brought me back into basketball.
Even with him and being with the Knicks, right, Jason?
Even with the Knicks.
Thanks.
It's one of those stories where you feel so bad for a guy who put everything out there, and it just never came to completion for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Well said. Have a good day. All right, kid.
You too.
See ya. We take your calls and what D. Rose means to you. Are you like Danny? 312-332-3776. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is having one hell of a summer.
Yeah.
And it
already
just began.
Yeah.
And he ain't in pads in 2 minutes.